Well, good morning. My name is George, and I have the joy of being the pastor here, and it is so good to see you this morning. I don't know what I'm sounding like, but a couple days ago, I woke up with this echo in my head from being stuffy, and I don't actually think I've had this before, and I described to my wife, I said, it sounds like I'm talking, and there's nothing up there, and everything is bouncing around, and I couldn't hear her very well, but I think she said something like, so what else is new? But I don't think she really said that, because she wouldn't have said that to me because she loves me so much. But just in case, if I'm really loud, go like, pull it down, George, pull it down. But so that's kind of where I am today. It is so good to be here. We are kicking off our Christmas Advent. Advent is the season of the church year that we look with anticipation and in celebration of the Christmas event. And it includes the Sundays, four Sundays before Christmas and Christmas Eve. And it's a time where we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Christ child. Our ladies' gift of Christmas theme this year was shine, letting the light of Christ shine in your life. And so I took that theme, hijacked it a little bit, and came up with a little series that I am calling Shine, with the tagger, what you give is what you get. Shine. What you give is what you get. And over the next few weeks, we are going to look at how that unfolds in both gratitude and generosity and grace, and even with our gifts, of how we, using our gifts for the glory of God, brings out the best in others as well. So I hope that you will be able to be here for each one of those events, and then we will bring that to a culmination on Christmas Eve, 7 o'clock. I hope you will put that in your calendar, because it is one of the great services that we have here that it's just a wonderful way to start the Christmas celebration. But how appropriate, I think, that we this weekend talk about gratitude. It was Thanksgiving this week. Did everybody have a good time? Yes. Did everybody eat too much? Yes. Well, we're excited because for all of you who had leftovers immediately after church today, we're having a pitch-in potluck. So I hope you all brought some goodies. We had roast. We had pork loin in our house, so we didn't have turkey. So anybody who wants to pass a little turkey on, feel free to do that. But we hope that you will stay and enjoy a meal with us. Even if you didn't bring anything, that's okay. We're going to have plenty back there. And so just after worship today, we invite you to share a meal with us. You can go in the fellowship hall and get your food and bring it in here, and we'll just enjoy table fellowship in here with one another. So hope that you can do that with us. But you know, gratitude is an interesting concept. And so in my research for this message, thinking about gratitude, there are several things. You know, if you Google is such an amazing thing, isn't it? Do you wonder, like, what did we do without Google several years ago? You know, I think back to, like, encyclopedias. You know, microfiche and microfilm, remember those things? Remember the card catalogs, adults, when you went to the library and you had to go through these things and they found a number, then you had to go find it, and now you just go on and boom, it's right there. What did we do without Google? Well, I just typed in gratitude. Gratitude, and literally hundreds of thousands, probably millions, I didn't count them, of responses came up. But interestingly enough, there's been a lot of research, a lot of scientific research done in the area of gratitude. Lots of amazing books have been published about gratitude. But interestingly enough, I found an article titled 7 Scientifically Proven Benefits of Gratitude That Will Motivate You to Give Thanks Year Round. And the source for this is Forbes magazine. And this was actually based, I believe, on a Harvard study that was done several years ago in the whole area of gratitude. And so I thought it was interesting to share with you what some of these ideas are that they came up with through this research, the 7 scientifically proven benefits of gratitude, of being people who are gracious, people who give thanks, people who say thank you, what gratitude does. So I want to list those for you, and they're also in your bulletin notes, but they're going to be up on the screen. Check this out. Number one, that gratitude opens the door to more relationships. There's this interesting dynamic that happens that when people to perceive you to be a thankful person, it actually makes you more attractive, and it actually makes you open to more relationships. So an attitude of gratitude, or what we're going to call a little bit later, a gratitude lifestyle, has this amazing effect on the people around you. Number two, gratitude improves your physical health. It actually removes aches and pains. And so the more we can be gracious and have gratitude in our lives, the more it actually has this physical benefit. And I think what happens is that we take our eyes and our our thoughts off the aches and pains in our lives and we focus them on other things, and that just kind of makes those things go away. But it's scientifically proven. Number three, gratitude improves psychological health. So not just physical health, but psychological health. And then what it does is it actually helps with toxic emotions. It makes those actually diminish and can go away. So the more we practice an attitude of gratitude or a lifestyle of gratitude, the better we are psychologically. Number four, gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. As a matter of fact, what the studies show is that having an attitude of gratitude actually decreases our desire for revenge. That it increases our capacity for empathy and compassion and sensitivity. Number five, grateful people sleep better. I think that makes sense because when we're grateful and we thank God for all the things that we have in our life, if we're not doing that, what are we doing? We're probably focusing on all the negative things in life and all the things that aren't going right. And when do those usually really come to surface? When you're laying in your bed and the lights go out and your brain goes in hyperdrive, doesn't it? Or does that only happen to me? Actually, I usually fall asleep really fast. Like, I think I can be asleep within about 20 seconds of my head hitting the pillow, but it's not uncommon for me to wake up about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And there are times where like, oh, I gotta shut this off, I gotta shut this off, I gotta shut this off. Well, from this research now, what I know is maybe what I need to do is to just spend some time laying in bed, giving thanks to God for the blessings and the things in my life. And that will help me sleep better. Give it a shot. Number seven, gratitude improves self-esteem. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? If we appear to be actually more attractive to other people because we have a more gracious air about ourselves, is that it actually makes us feel more confident that we're not stuck in our stuff and looking at all the bad things that are happening in our life. And it actually helps improve our self-esteem. And then number seven, gratitude increases mental strength. The study shows that gratitude reduces stress and helps heal trauma. And so having an attitude of gratitude is something that is really beneficial in our lives. Now, this should be nothing new to Christians because the Bible is filled with places that talk about an attitude of gratitude, about being gracious people. We find it in places like 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Be thankful in all circumstances. Or this from 1 Corinthians 11:23 and 24. On the night in which he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God. Now, think about that one. How often have we read that, done that over communion, breezed by it really fast? But contemplate this for just a moment. Jesus knew on the night that he was going to be betrayed, that his life was headed towards the cross. He knew that he was going to be dying for the sins of humanity. And when he celebrates communion with his disciples, the text tells us that Jesus said he broke bread, he gave thanks to God. Talk about having an eternal perspective. Talk about not being stuck in the details and the problems of life right then, but to having this attitude of gratitude and putting into place this being thankful in all things, that Jesus was giving thanks to God on the night that he was betrayed. Ephesians 5:20, give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks in everything. It's not an easy thing, is it? It's why an attitude of gratitude is something that we have to develop, and that's what we're going to talk about in a few minutes, that it's something that actually doesn't come really natural for us, but it's something that we have to do. I like what G.K. Chesterton said. He says that gratitude is the highest form of thought. It's the highest form of thought. Last month, I have the pleasure of leading an all-pro dad chapter at Floyd's Knobs Elementary. Troy Wingler, who is one of our folks, does it at Greenville. And what we did last month was talking about being thankful. And one of the challenges in the curriculum was for dads, when you take your kids to school or every day, find a way to just say what you're thankful for. And so what I started doing in the car with my daughter when I take her to school is I say, "Hey, Kate, what's something we're thankful for today?" Now, we only had a couple days in between when that occurred and we took Thanksgiving break, but it's something that we're going to do every day when I take her to school, to just say, wow, what are we thankful for? So that I'm not only equipping and helping her to have this attitude of gratitude, but it's for me as well, so that I can have thankfulness and gratitude be kind of at the forefront of my thought, so it can be really a highest form of thought. So an attitude of gratitude, a gratitude lifestyle. Jesus tells an amazing story in the Gospel of Luke. It's a story about gratitude. It's a story about 10 lepers who Jesus heals. And interestingly enough, what we're going to discover, this story has often been called the story of the 10 lepers. I actually think it's the story of one leper, because it's a story of one leper who has an attitude of gratitude. So we're going to read that story real quick. And then just a few things I want to point out this morning about cultivating and developing an attitude of gratitude, a gratitude lifestyle. So I would invite you to look up on the screen, or if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to look at Luke chapter 18, verses 11 through 19. I love this. One of my professors in preaching said that when you announce the text, give people a few minutes to find it in their Bibles. And he said, he takes a moment and he listens and he said, it is like the angel's wings are fluttering when people turn the pages in their Bibles. I love that picture. But Luke chapter 18. As Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance. They had to, because they were not allowed to be with the rest of the people. And they were crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Mercy, you know what that is, right? God not giving us what we deserve. Have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. 1 out of 10 had an attitude of gratitude. So here's what I think about gratitude. Here's what I believe about a lifestyle of gratitude. That lifestyle gratitude is something we choose. We choose to say thank you. Parents, I hope that you are cultivating this in your children, to say thank you for all things. It's something we choose, and if we don't choose it, it's not going to be part of our default system. But if we get choosing to be gracious and to show gratitude into our system, our DNA, so to speak, it becomes our default, so that our kids naturally say, well, thank you. Thank you. It's something that we choose. We've already looked at those 7 aspects that we looked at the beginning, and so the realization is it's good for us. This leper who came back, Jesus said, go, your faith has made you well. It's made you whole. Meaning he could go back to his family now. It has redeemed him. It is good for us. It draws us closer to God and to others. See, when we have a practice of gratitude, when we are consistently looking at our blessings and being grateful people, it keeps our eyes on God and it helps us to develop a better attitude towards God. It draws us closer to God, because when we're looking at life and we're saying, God, thank you for our meal today. God, thank you for this rain that we had. God, thank you for our children. Lord, thank you for all the blessings that you have in our life. It draws us to the very presence of God, and it has the power to change our perspective. It changes our perspective. In the story, we had a Samaritan. In first century, Samaritans were actually often labeled dogs. They were half-breeds. They weren't really in. They weren't in with the Jews. They weren't in with the Gentiles. They were just part of their own little group. And what Jesus is saying to this Samaritan, we said, your faith has made you well. He's now saying, you're in. And that changed his perspective. The story doesn't tell us. Doesn't tell us what happened to this Samaritan afterwards. And I think that's intentional because when we're grafted in, when we're invited in, when we're received into this relationship with Christ, then we have a continuing story that's yet to be told. And I think it's our way, I think it's the text way actually of Jesus saying, why don't you become the Samaritan and come on in? And let's see where the story goes. So lifestyle gratitude is first and foremost something that we choose. Number two, lifestyle gratitude is something that we cultivate. It's something that we invest in. It's something that we're very intentional at. Because if we don't give intentionality to something, it doesn't become our default. When we don't make it a priority, it doesn't become one. We start by counting our blessings. I read this articles from this book that that Anne Voskamp wrote, and she wrote a book called 1,000 Blessings. It looks like an amazing book, and it was based on some research that was done, and it asks people to every day for 100 days count 3 blessings. And she says the research shows that it will change your perspective. It will change you because it helps us to recognize the blessings that we have for God. Thanksgiving is not something that we should just celebrate once a year. It's something that we should celebrate year round. And so we need to make it a habit of counting our blessings, that we actually need to name them one by one. You ever tried doing that? Here's what I would suggest. If you're having a particularly difficult day or a particularly difficult season, or just you need to work on your perspective of life, is maybe what you should do is start the day by beginning to write down what your blessings are, naming them one by one, and seeing where you're blessed. And what we need to do with each one of those is to give thanks to God. You heard the text, right? It says, in everything we give thanks to God. So we give thanks to God for all of those blessings. Here's what the research into spiritual formation or into discipleship, which means being formed into our Christ-likeness, being made more and more like Jesus, is that there is a direct correlation between the depth of our discipleship and the breadth of our thankfulness. There is a direct correlation between the depth of our discipleship. In other words, how connected are we to Jesus? How deep are we in our relationship with Jesus? How intentional are we in our relationship with Jesus? Thanksgiving, prayer, Bible study, fellowship, worship, community, giving, service, all those things that spiritually form us, that the depth of our discipleship is directly correlated to the breadth of our thankfulness. See, when we grow closer to, in our relationship with Jesus, we see him more clearly, and we see ourselves more clearly as well. And we see all the good things that God has done in our life, that he has done, that he is doing. And we begin to look with anticipation of the good things he will continue to do in our lives. And so there's this direct correlation between the more we grow in our relationship with Christ, the greater the breadth of our thankfulness. And it's actually easier for us to see all the places that we should be thankful. So lifestyle gratitude is something that we choose. It's something that we cultivate. And lifestyle gratitude is something that we communicate. It's something that we share. It's something that we talk about. It's something that we say. See, the opposite is that ingratitude grieves the spirit of the giver. It grieves the spirit of the giver. It's one of the reasons why we have taught our kids, and we work really hard. If somebody gives us a present or a gift or something, the very first thing we say is, thank you. Because there's just something about if we are given a gift and we don't show gratitude for that, it grieves the giver. See, the same is true for our relationship with God. If we don't say thank you to God, giving God thanks in all things, it grieves him. And so we need to be people who communicate that gratitude, naming them, calling them out, listing them. Lifestyle gratitude is something we communicate because words for affirmation builds others up. When Jenny and I were doing our premarital counseling and getting ready for that big day, we did a great study called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. And one of the things that we discovered in that book is that that for me, my primary love language, in other words, the primary way that I receive love and the primary way actually that I like to give love is words of affirmation. Is that when I hear people say, "Hey, George, great job. Hey, George, thank you. Man, George, that was really good." Is that words of affirmation just speak volumes to me. They just kind of go right to my core. And in his book, Gary Chapman talks about four other love languages. We'd encourage you to check that out, that book. It's a great book, especially for spouses, by the way. It's something that I use in premarital counseling a lot. Because the other love languages are things like gifts, are things like acts of service, and I can't remember the other two just off the top of my head. But words of affirmation, they build others up. Because see, everyone wants to feel appreciated, don't you? Everyone wants to feel appreciated when you've done something, when you've given something, when you've gone somewhere. We like to be appreciated, don't we? And what does that do for us? It spurs us on, doesn't it, to other things. And so everyone wants to feel appreciated. And here's what I believe. Gratitude is infectious. It is infectious. The more we say thank you, the more others hear us say thank you, the more gratitude that we express, it has an effect on the people around us that it will make the people around us more gracious. Parents, this is big for you. Because the more you express gratitude around your kids, the more your kids will be gracious. The more we communicate gratitude to others around us, the more gracious the people around us become because it's infectious. And so this Thanksgiving, are we giving thanks to God in all things? Is an attitude of gratitude just naturally on our lips and in our heart? The depth of our relationship with Christ directly impacts the breadth of our thankfulness. And so the question I want to ask you this morning, the realization, so to speak, comes from Anne Voskamp in her book, 1,000 Blessings. And she says this, "If we aren't the people known for thanking God, maybe we aren't thinking of God." If we aren't the people known for thanking God, maybe we aren't thinking enough about God. And so here's my challenge to you. Every day between now and Christmas, begin a lifestyle, an attitude of gratitude. Would encourage you every day to give thanks to God for at least one thing. Begin your day before you even jump out of bed in the morning. Give thanks to God for one thing. If you're a high achiever, go for three. Because here's what it's going to do. It will change your perspective on the day because it will change you. Science has proven what our faith has stated. Science has proven what our faith affirms, that an attitude of gratitude, a lifestyle of gratitude, will change us and it will change the people around us. And God has called us, each and every one of us, to make a difference in our world by what we say and by what we do. And so every day, find a way, find a space, find a time to develop an attitude of gratitude and see what that will do. Let's pray together. God, I want to pray that Thanksgiving wouldn't be just a one-day event for us, but that it would be an ongoing lifestyle for us. that in all things that we would give thanks to you, even God, the things that we don't understand. Because your word tells us that you can work for good in all things for those who love you and who are called according to your purposes. And Lord, we're honest, some of that we just don't understand. And being thankful in all things is just really hard and we still don't understand. But God, I pray that you would help us to develop this attitude of gratitude, that we will be people who are known for thanking you because we are thinking of you more and more. So God, I pray that an infectious attitude of gratitude would begin with us and it would spread to the people around us. That ultimately, God, that the reason we do this is so that we could point others to you. And God, it would be my desire that we who are gathered here would make an eternal impact in the lives of someone this December, so that Christmas, the celebration of your son, would mean more than it's ever meant. That by our investment, by our even attitude of gratitude, that there might be some who would come to know you because of that. And so God, I pray, help us to be people who model a lifestyle of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude in every day. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.